Current Affairs. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Current Affairs. My name is Tina Jha. Today, we'll be discussing the Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill 2026. We have with us economic analyst Dilip Chanoy and advocate in the Supreme Court of India, Mr. Anup Awasthi. This week, the Parliament cleared a significant reform aimed at simplifying India's legal and regulatory framework. Both houses passed the Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill 2026, a move that the government says will make compliance simpler and reduce the fear of minor legal penalties. In simple terms, this bill takes a hard look at hundreds of provisions across dozens of laws and recognizes that not every mistake needs to be treated as a crime. It proposes changes to 784 provisions across 79 central acts, decriminalizing 717 of them and cleaning up over 1,000 outdated or redundant offenses. This legislation builds on the Jan Vishwas Act of 2023, which was the first consolidated legislation to systematically decriminalize minor offenses across multiple acts. That act had decriminalized 183 provisions across 42 central acts covering 19 ministries and departments. Changes are particularly significant for the MSMEs, the backbone of India's growth story, by reducing compliance burdens and encouraging ease of doing business. So what do these reforms really mean for the businesses, governance, and most importantly for the citizens? Will decriminalization truly transform India's regulatory landscape? Let's also listen in to what the Prime Minister said on this reformative bill.
Jan Vishwas Bill, samanya manavi ke prati bharosa karna, anek kanunon ko decriminalize karna, is muhim ko aage badhane wala ye bill, usi prakar se jo purane kanun hai unko khatam karne ke liye bhi ek bill mein pravadhan kiya ja raha hai. Hamare yahan sadiyon se parampara rahi hai ki jab vivad ho to samvad se suljhaya jaye. Mediation ki parampara hamare desh ki sadiyon purani hai. उसको अब कानूनी आधार देते हुए मीडिएशन बिल लाने की दिशा में इस सत्र का बहुत बड़ा उपयोग है, जो अनेक विवादों से सामान्य मानवी से लेकर के असामान्य संजोगों को भी मिल बैठ करके सुलझाने का एक मजबूत नींव बनाएगा.
Replying to the discussion in the House, Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal said, "The bill reflects the trust and belief that the Modi government has in people." Listen in.
जन विश्वास बिल जो लाया गया है, इसकी पहली कड़ी में 183 प्रोविजन जो 42 सेंट्रल एक्ट को सरलीकरण करते थे, डिक्रिमिनलाइज करते थे, वो हमने 2023 में पेश किया था. अब आज जो सदन के समक्ष जन विश्वास अमेंडमेंट ऑफ प्रोविजन बिल 2026 लाए, इसमें लगभग 1000 प्रावधान सरलीकरण करके आप कल्पना करिए जनता को और हमारे एमएसएमई और छोटे उद्यमी, उद्योग और व्यापारियों को कितना बड़ा राहत देने का काम माननीय प्रधानमंत्री जी के नेतृत्व में किया जा रहा है.
We'll talk about some of these aspects and more with our guest today. Mr. Chanoy, let me start with you. This perhaps is the largest decriminalization exercise that we are seeing in recent years. How significant is this moment for India's business environment, most importantly for ease of doing business?
I think first, Tina, you've got to look at the rationale behind it. We are actually making a very decisive shift from a regime of criminal suspicion to one where there's trust-based governance. So like Prime Minister Modi said, you know, less government, more governance. So you're actually seeing that coming in here. It, of course, as you mentioned, it builds on the 2023 bill. And we must understand this is part of a larger reform. Like you said, decriminalization of business laws, ease of doing business 2.0, and trust-based regulation versus Inspector Raj. So we are moving from compliance through fear to compliance through facilitation. Like you said, it's important for MSMEs, but it's very important for startups, for emerging sectors like fintech, AI, and including Web3. What it does is, it does three things for industry. It decriminalizes minor offenses and makes them into civil penalties, so I don't have to go to a criminal court. If the civil penalty is compoundable, and the advocate would be adding much more to that, it actually reduces, you know, procedural lapses, etc. there. And it's a big psychological shift for entrepreneurs who are scared of going to jail, and it'll actually encourage the spirit of entrepreneurship. Second thing it does is does introduces graded penalties, reduces arbitrary enforcement, which is again a fear of the common man, because a lot of the new generation entrepreneurs are kids out of college, so they don't know all of the system. At least some of the established people know what it is there.
Absolutely.
But it reduces and simplifies the process. It cuts redundant processes, that you said. You know, just to take an example, there was a Sarai Act. which meant that every hotel has to give free water to passers-by. Of course, they've repealed that act, but I'm just saying things like that. It encourages digital compliance, so you don't have to actually do physical stuff here. So these are the impacts that they're actually having on the ground, and there's a lot of economic impact, but I presume we'll come to that later.
Replying to the discussion in the House, Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal said, the bill reflects the trust and belief that the Modi government has in people. Listen in.
चाहे देश का उद्योजक हो, एंटरप्रेन्योर हो, गांव का किसान हो, शहर का मजदूर हो या गली का छोटा दुकानदार, सबको सम्मानजनक और सुविधाजनक जीवन देना, यही प्रधानमंत्री नरेंद्र मोदी जी की सरकार का संकल्प है, यही हमारी प्राथमिकता है.
We'll move forward. We'll try and understand, since you mentioned, relief coming in, not just for the MSMEs, but most importantly for startups, for manufacturing. So which sector stands to gain the most when these changes are implemented is something that we will discuss in due course of the program. From a legal standpoint, Mr. Awasthi, first help us and our listeners understand, what does decriminalization of offences actually mean in this context? And why was it long pending? Why did the government in fact feel it was necessary to build on an exercise that it had done as recently as in 2023?
Actually, the legal philosophy is now changed by this particular amendment. This is Jan Vishwas. The faith, the trust in the efficiency of system is actually required to grow more because of this. And suppose you are on the wrong side of the law, not deliberately, because you are an entrepreneur who's just entering in the system, and each time you are supposed to face some law and there is some breach, that does not mean that you have done some criminal activity. That is a matter of compliance. So from criminalization to compliance issue. So that way, giving a different meaning, and the philosophy is now changed. With maximum governance, with minimum effort from the side of the government, right, and the maximum outcome. So in a way, it is promoting the entire business ecosystem and taking the country to the higher level because of this. And you see, this is massive. 717 provisions across 79 acts are decriminalized. So suppose, I'm giving you certain examples. For example, you having a driving license and that expires and you are found driving a car. Now 30 days additional time is given. So even if you are caught, suppose today is the 2nd April 2026 and your license expires today, and sometimes you don't know, you never see the expiry date in your license, and suddenly you are caught at a traffic red light and the traffic man asks that at that time you are not having a license, but this particular amendment gives 30 days additional time. At the same time, I'm giving another example on this. Your license is about to expire in the year 2026. You can apply at least 365 days prior to the expiry, and the extension shall be from the date of expiry. So this is something which is giving confidence not only to those fintech, not only to those who are in business, but to the ordinary person who is in the system. So it is a massive reform, I would say, and it is going to change the thought process of common person, common men, towards the thought process of government. So I think beautifully it has been made, and I have given only one example, and you may find hundreds of examples like that.
Certainly, and I'm glad you cited out those examples in context of ease of living. But in context of ease of doing business, Mr. Chinoy, are there some real life scenarios that you can think of and that you can explain to us on how, once these changes are implemented, they simplify things for the entrepreneurs, for the business community?
What they have done, you talked about it in introduction, there are hundreds of compliance issues where you have to comply and you have to file a document. That documentation filing is gone. Second, there were many environmental law and other law. There was a need to get a third-party audit done. Now it's self-certification. You know, the first thing that was done, people don't remember it, you could self-attest your Aadhaar or your PAN card or something.
That was one of the first decisions
that was done. It's such a simple, it's amazing how you can self-attest your documents and actually upload it. A very interesting thing is that, like it was mentioned, a lot of founders and a lot of MSMEs are not aware of legal changes, right? And without the awareness, it will not translate into impact. So what this has done, if you're, you know, and in law they say that ignorance of law is no excuse, right? So here they have actually said it's punishable not criminally, it's punishable civil. So you pay a penalty, right? And for a businessman, money matters a lot more than, you know, other things there. So this is what's actually happening. And it's going to be digital India compliance systems. So simple. The new income tax rules and the new PAN application rules have been announced yesterday as, you know, part of this. Now you just can upload self-attested, documents on the website, pay your 107 rupees and you've got your new thing. Similarly for Aadhaar, you can get it done. So a lot of things happen. And very interesting. It gives us an international... Now they've stopped doing that. The ease of doing business rankings which are there, the World Bank has stopped doing that. But it helps India compete with Vietnam, Indonesia, UAE. Foreign investors are looking at predictability, looking at low criminal liability risk. This is a big thing for them. When a foreign investor comes in, they're willing to do a fine, but criminal liability was a big deterrent.
In fact, you lead me to the next question that I had for you, that while it is a huge psychological and transformational shift for the small businesses, most importantly for the entrepreneurs who are significantly on the rise in the country, for the investors, which include both domestic and the global investors, how strong a message, especially in context of confidence building and that trust in investing in India?
So I think this reform gives a very important message across the board. India is serious about being a trust-based economy rather than a punitive one, mm-hmm. right? First. Second is, unless absolutely necessary, right, we will not look at criminal action for offenses that relate to economic activity. There will be criminal action against if you do money laundering and other things, but genuine economic activity by companies, they are moving gradually to decriminalize and just explain
the minor offenses.
Yeah, minor offenses. And it is distinguishing between malafide intent and procedural error. So this is actually very interestingly done. And I think the real reform at the grassroots level and for everybody is behavioral. Earlier, if you did something, then you wouldn't go to sleep at night thinking the police will knock at your door. Now you know it's there. You know, expat or someone would actually looking at saying, oh, when can I take the next flat out? Because, you know, I got the fear of being arrested. And that was not, you know, India was not a very happy place to be posted, etc. This will change all of that.
Certainly. So from a system of fear, we are moving towards a system of trust. And we're seeing it being strengthened. So 2023 was one step towards building that system. Now 2026 is another significant step towards strengthening that trust ecosystem that we've built. So while it takes off a lot of burden and pressure off the ordinary citizens of small business communities, of the entrepreneurs, how significant is it in terms of reducing the burden of the judiciary? We often talk about the pendency of cases in courts. This will mean fewer criminal cases now?
Not only fewer criminal cases, on civil side also, this will reduce the burden of our constitutional courts, because if something was happening, the only forum available for the person aggrieved was to challenge the same by way of a writ petition before the High Court. So the burden of High Court under writ jurisdiction shall get substantially reduced because of the introduction of the adjudicatory mechanism that has been introduced by this bill. And in most of the acts, be it Delhi Municipal Council Act, Municipal Corporation Act, Act, everywhere, if you are at breach, then some penalty shall be imposed on you, and if you are aggrieved by that, then the adjudicatory mechanism is available well within the setup. So somebody, officer of secretary rank, will be the adjudicating authority. So a kind of a quasi-judicial body is proposed in each of the systems that we daily interact with, which are part of our daily life. So instead of reaching to the constitutional court under writ jurisdiction to High Court, the first available venue for grievance redressal would be the department itself. So substantially it is going to reduce the burden. That is number one. And adding to what sir has said, I was just want to add only one thing.
Sure.
The pecuniary nature of the penalties that are introduced as far as entrepreneurs are concerned, somebody who is evading tax, he is trying to save money. So ultimately the incentive for saving money shall go because of the penalties. So it will, on one hand, ensure compliances, because if you are late by one day, suppose penalty is only 500 rupees. And if you are late by 30 days, it get multiplied by 30. So person will not actually delay. They will be more compliant. And the pecuniary pressure, this system is more efficient, more viable than the penal nature of the things which are on us. Most of the time, what suppose you are making a big saving, say, for example, 20 crore, 25 crore that way. then if you are behind bars for 6 months, that is okay. So that trade-off will go, because entire money that you illegally siphoned off is now being taken away by the system. So there won't be any incentive. That's so right. I think from that angle also, this is a wonderful initiative taken by the government of the day.
So I think what you said implies that it's going to significantly change how our businesses operate on a day-to-day basis. So small to big, I think the way they operate on a day-to-day basis will have, once these changes come into effect.
And not only businesses, the regulatory authorities also. For example, the pension regulatory authority. Mm-hmm. Somebody is coming, because private sector is also getting into everything. And we can't stop them, and we rather invite them, we should. So if somebody is doing some mess up with the pension, etc., which are the basic social security system in our setup, then the penalty is 25 crore, not 1 or 2 rupees. So that is a big disincentive for them not to be in line. So if somebody is breaching the law, the penal side would be less, but the pecuniary burden on them shall be very high. So I think the incentive to breach the law shall definitely get reduced.
So it's a two-way trust system that the government has through this law tried to generate and strengthen?
Yes, absolutely. So if you look at the environment laws or IP laws or the food safety laws or the motor vehicles or the driving license example that he gave, or the agriculture and trade laws. So if you comply, there's no penalty, there's no nothing. If there's a failure to comply, then there's a fine, and there's a per day fine which keeps on going added. And for the first offense, there's something, and for second offense, it's enhanced. You know, and how simplification it is for it. Take a very simple thing, the intellectual property laws, right? Now, if I am being accused of violating copyright or something like that, and I make a false statement, unknowingly or whatever it is. Now, it was a criminal offense earlier. Now, it is a fine. So, you know, it actually helps the person, because criminal procedure is huge. The civil procedure is very quick, and the fine is paid, and etc. It can be settlement for this. The second is for drugs and cosmetics. You know, if there was a thing that earlier there was imprisonment up to 6 months and fine. Now higher monetary penalty and no jail. I'm just giving, you know, some examples there. So even in the RBI and the financial sector, a lot of things earlier, criminal exposure, now 1 lakh penalty and daily fine. So it is showing that, okay, if you made a valid mistake, right, you pay for that mistake in monetary terms. We're not going to put you a, but if you have a malafide intent in other things, there are other provisions of the Act which kick in. So while it says we are looking at trust-based system and looking at a compliance-based system, if you don't validate the trust or don't do the compliance, there are penalties against it.
You spoke about it earlier. You said when the ease of doing business rankings used to take place, and historically, given the very strict regulatory framework that India was known for, we would actually lag behind in that index somewhere. Over the years, the effort has been made to get rid of that red tapeism, to ensure that there is maximum governance and minimum government. But how big is this reform in bridging that gap, in building or sort of transforming that image that we have compared to the other economies?
It's a very interesting, you know, question that you're asking, because when we are looking at the ease of doing business, we were looking at only the parameters under the ease of doing business, like construction and, you know, other things like that. We were not looking at this wide thing, you know, not looking at removing 40,000 plus compliances across these sectors. It's also happening in centers and states. So we're not just changing laws, right? And, you know, it's not a focus on ease of doing business. It is reducing the compliance load at scale. A lot of people, of course, will go out of business because they thrived on ensuring people will comply. And it's happening both in the center and the states here. It's very interesting that, you know, from the legal point of view, thousands of minor cases, you just go to the Lok Adalats for traffic violation and all those will disappear. Thousands and tens and thousands of minor cases will just go away. The time that you and I spend in a court will dramatically reduce. So it will improve not only ease of doing business, it will improve investor predictability. And this whole thing is journey. It's not yet over. There's more to come.
Certainly. So I'm going to talk about how we're going to sustain the momentum and, you know, keep bringing with these reforms in order to achieve our 2047 vision. But coming now to the concerns, because each time you have reformative measures, there are bound to be some concerns and some apprehensions regarding it. So some may worry that removing criminal penalties will make the enforcement weaker. How do we ensure that rules are still followed even when you decriminalize these and the penalties remain strong enough to ensure compliance?
We have our criminal laws in system. So if somebody is violating law, which is criminal in nature, the BNS shall come into picture. It's not that we don't have. Only thing is minor breaches were given the criminal color, that is taken away. And as far as sustainability is concerned, you see this particular bill has not come on public demand. This has been done by government on its own after doing great research. What is required, what is relevant, what is redundant, and whatever was required to be done, they have done. So I think a very optimistic vision government has portrayed by bringing this bill into action, and the redundant portion shall wither away, shall go, and a very clean kind of system will be. Yes, of course, there may be some operational problems, but in every system we have it. It's not that we don't have.
One concern that the opposition during the discussion in the House also brought forth, Mr. Chinoy, was that once these changes come into effect, they're going to promote corruption, they're going to weaken the rule of law, because now you've made it so simple that it will lead to more and more corruption within the system. That could be one concern, but given your experience, where do you think we can strike that right balance between ensuring compliance and also accountability?
No, I think this is a concern which is very easy to state. But let's see what's happening on the ground. If you're looking at corruption, the return on threatening a person with criminal action is significantly higher than saying that you are liable to a fine. So the incentives will actually reduce. Second, what's going to happen is that a lot of it is happening faceless. If you take the income tax, right? And that's going to happen across, it's going to happen digitally. There's going to be a digital bank. The next stage, the digital backbone. When it's digital, when it is faceless, when there is nothing, you can't say that it'll vanish all over, but it'll reduce significantly because you don't know whom you're dealing with. Nobody knows who the person is. And there will always be people who want to break the law, right? For whatever, as Mr. Avasi said, that there will monetary incentives there to break the law. Okay, that will happen. But if the majority swing there, then next time you think of how do you actually get the few people who are left or the systems that are not covered to take in there. And between Jan Biswas Bill 1 and 2.0, the degree of minor has actually increased 2x, right? So maybe next time when there's something there, the minority will again increase 3x because the government will get some confidence that people are complying. And there are other ways now, you know, we are trying to move out with digital payments. We are trying to move to, you know, reporting cash transactions. There has been a significant change in the PAN numbers for cash transactions, including the limits. And also people are, even that's a big step forward. That's also a huge
tool. The advantages will always outweigh the disadvantages. But for our listeners who may have heard about these concerns coming in, reading about the discussions that took place and which were prominently discussed on the floor of the House as well, from a legal standpoint, what are the safeguards to ensure that serious violations are dealt with seriously? And so that the incentive to break the law isn't as high as could be when these safeguards do not persist.
When there are bigger violations, the criminalization is not removed. For example, under Mining Act, if you are breaching continuously while you are doing mining, so the penal portion as well as the pecuniary portion, both are retained. So it's not that it is completely taken away. So if you are breaching law, there is a remedy available. But if there is simply some non-compliance, some obstruction, then that is removed. And you see, this entire exercise is organic in nature. So since 1870, the Court Fee Act, up to 2025. So hell, lot of laws are actually taken into account and a lot of reforms have taken place. So let it be tested. If something more is to be done next time, I think government in next couple of years shall do that. We have only 3 years back, the first time Jan Biswas Bill came and lot of amendments have taken place. And this time this massive exercise has been taken place. That also shows the confidence of the government and the response they received with regard to prior Jan Biswas Bill and amendment done. So I think this has been done after a lot of empirical research on the basis of data available, and this is a very good step taken by the government. And if something is more to be done next time, that shall be done.
So while this is an important cleanup exercise, Mr. Chinoy, the question is, we need to keep doing more of this to sustain the momentum, to keep evolving with time, especially when we aim to become a $5 trillion economy. Reforms like these are not just important, but they're going to be game changers in creating, in helping India create a business-friendly environment, in ensuring that all the gains that we have made by far are not lost and we are able to build on those gains further towards our vision.
I think, you know, you're right. And you know what's happening while we discuss the center? The states also have done a lot of work. You know, Haryana has taken 164 provisions across 42 acts. Gujarat has taken 516 provisions across 11 laws.
Right.
Delhi is in the process of doing something. So this is becoming a nationwide regulatory philosophy. And the whole thing is we're not just changing laws. We are reducing the compliance load at scale. And any investor or any business person, when they find that his compliance burden and the cost of compliance is reducing and there is no fear of criminal action, the sector and the place where he invests becomes much more attractive compared to earlier. So it'll help us not only in, you know, getting new entrepreneurs and startups to come up there, and also looking at FDI. So you'll see this at scale. And of course, there will be a lot of companies who will say, in my sector, this was not done. But there can always be a Jan Vishwas 3.0. And like you said, there are people who will say this will increase corruption. But I believe the underlying thing is to ease of living, ease of doing business, and going to compliance mindset rather than criminal mindset. And that's what we're actually moving. This is not compliance by prescription. It is compliance by self-declaration. And
absolutely. Like we discussed earlier on in the program, that moving away from a system of fear to a system of trust. And when you're moving with visions like, say, a $5 trillion economy, an ambitious vision like becoming a Viksit Bharat in the next 20 years, the trust of the citizens is going to be the major pillar. That's perhaps the backbone. You wanted to add something?
Yes. I only wanted to highlight that under RBI Act, there is a section 58B. Earlier it was named as penalty, now it is offense. So government is very vigilant which word they are expected to use for this entire exercise. So it's not that everything is just decriminalized. They are very, very sure what to do and what not to. And let this be tested.
So just curious to know, when you deal with citizens who come to courts and, you know, they're embroiled in such cases, how much of an impact does this shift make? So back when there wasn't a concept of a Jan Vishwas, and when you were, you know, levied with fines, or maybe, you know, you were liable to some kind of a criminal action, now that is changed. Basic terminologies are changed. How do you see the impact on the citizens who maybe now, perhaps you notice that change, that shift in trust in the system? So now we've evolved from, say, we don't trust the system, to now we trust the system. If there are lapses, we are happy to pay the fine and move forward.
Yes, the legal exercise, I think, is the last exercise that is being taken by anybody. Mm-hmm. So they will definitely try to sort it out before reaching to the court. So I think that would be a significant step in getting the grievance in general reduced and less court cases may come. But at the very same time, the need of advocates or professional legal advice shall never get reduced. Even for dealing with the departmental activities, they may get a better draft by an expert who has given some legal inputs. So there won't be any lesser legal work, but as far as the court burden is concerned, that shall definitely get significantly reduced.
So in the manner in which the government has been moving towards ensuring ease of living, towards ensuring ease of doing business, in simplifying the system, in taking the system closer to the people, and most importantly, building that trust among the citizens of the country, do you think this is a part of a broader evolution in India's legal system, which makes it more modern because we are evolving, we are amending the laws, we are doing away with the obsolete laws, in making it more rational, explaining to people why we are doing this, but most importantly, making it citizen-friendly?
Yes, I do agree. And you see, this is a continuous exercise going on. In 2016, we had insolvency and bankruptcy code. The primary objective was ease of doing business and putting India at higher pedestal in terms of the attracting the foreign investment inside. Next, we had reforms in our income tax laws. We are having GST laws. Now, recently, we had the complete overhaul of our criminal laws. We have three different laws. Our BNS, BNSS, as well as the Evidence Act is also changed. So, focus of the government is towards maximum governance through minimum government. And they are trying to infuse this vision, whatever they do. And this is another example that we have, this Jan Vishwas bill that is now passed.
There's a very interesting legal, criminal legal provision. There's a provision that if the law changes and the future penalty is less than the penalty that you will actually get if you were tried in the old law, you will get the lesser of the sentence. That's a very interesting provision there. So a lot of the cases that people are even facing, very smart lawyers, you know, can actually take this and address those issues. Second, the challenge of the legal system is that the more new cases are being added than those being disposed. Now, this will certainly reduce the number of new cases being added. So, as we get disposal, the net kind of reduction of the backlog will also actually happen. And of course, like it was said, that judicial reforms are next, and we'll see when that happens.
So on that very interesting note, we'll have to wrap up the conversation. Time allows us to take up only that much on the program, gentlemen. So that's it from us, listeners, on this program. You can also listen to our program, Current Affairs, on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Current Affairs.